Beloved friends, we welcome you to the final meditation upon that blessed theme, the God of my life, an expression we have found in Psalm chapter 42 and verse 8. It was written in testimony by the psalmist when his prayer ascended to the one who in heaven he called the God of my life. I certainly hope, my beloved listener, you can call him the same from your heart in absolute and true experience, and that you know him as such. We have covered from Holy Scripture in our preceding messages various reasons why we should call him the God of my life. We have learned, first of all, I'm the object of his great creation. Second, I'm the object and constantly the object of his observation. I also am the object of his consideration. And then we noted, I'm the object of his divine affection. And last of all, we noted in our preceding message, I'm the object of his divine redemption. Now let us consider very briefly some other precious truths relating to God and me. Notice again with me in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We have an additional fact that when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, know what the Apostle Paul writes in this verse. Christ liveth in me. What a blessed fact. Not before I'm saved, but when I'm saved by his grace, I become the object of divine habitation. Christ liveth in me. My beloved friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, dwelling in your heart? If he is, then you surely know and you can say, he's the God of my life. For what a transformation! Instead of sin ruling in my heart, Christ dwells and rules in that heart. Let me mention the prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3:17. When Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Did not John the Apostle write those tender words of the Lord Jesus in Revelation 3 and verse 20, saying, Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. My beloved friend, if perchance the Lord Jesus is just now knocking at your heart's door, why not let him in? And the moment you let him in, the moment he enters, you can say from the words of Paul, Christ liveth in me. I have become the object of divine habitation. Oh, but may I go a little further, reminding you of that blessed psalm which we call the Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd. You remember the beginning of that psalm is, The Lord is my shepherd. For you, do you not see, when Christ is your shepherd, living in your heart, you can then go on to verse 2 and say, He leadeth me. For when Christ is in my heart, I have become not only his habitation that he dwells in my heart, but I become the object of his divine direction. Wonderful are those three words. He leadeth me. As the hymn writer has said, where'er I go, where'er I be, where'er I do, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. This also means he is the God of my life. Oh, my beloved, it is far greater and better to be led through this world by his hand, the good shepherd, led through this world on the way to glory, than to be led by the devil and go down to hell. Oh, may I ask, my friend, is the Lord Jesus your shepherd and guide? If he is, please say in your heart, I'm the object of divine direction, and I'm also the object of divine habitation. Christ is my Savior and my blessed shepherd. But then, there are more precious truths in Psalm 23 about God and me. Yes, God not only makes me with his hands, sees me with his eyes, thinks of me with his mind, loves me with his heart. And thank God he came from heaven above and gave himself to save me. And I'm not only the object of his direction now, but oh, I'm the object also of his protection. The joy of knowing, let me quote the words of Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, my beloved, as we face the future, we know not what it may hold. But is it not a grand thing to be able to say that when the Lord is my shepherd, I am the object of divine protection? May I go even further about this truth. More seriously consider with me. I may not even live through this year. I may not live through another year. And neither may you, and neither may I. None can tell. But, my friend, when you go through the valley of death, can you say with the shepherd from Psalm 23:4, thou art with me. I'm the object of divine protection. For when that moment comes, my beloved friend, and it will come for you and for me someday, he will be not only the God of your life and mine, he will be the God of your death and mine. Please do not die without Christ, is my prayer and my longing for you, that you may take Christ as your Savior, for he alone can be your faithful companion in the valley of death. No other one can go with you through the valley of death. Just one. The one who made you, the one who sees you, the one who thinks of you, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one who also, thank God, lives in your heart when he's your Savior, and the one who will direct your life, and the one who protects as you go on, and at the end, he's with you there. Don't die without Christ, my beloved friend. But may I close the meditation with a verse from Psalm 138, verse 8. Note the words of the psalmist regarding my life, and particularly its final end. The Lord will perfect or finish that which concerneth me. Now what does this mean? What is the final objective that God has for you and for me, my beloved friend? Is it not to make you and to make me like Christ? To perfect me? The final objective that God has for you and for me? To make us like Christ. John the Apostle wrote it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. This blessed theme at the close of our meditation, the final objective, I'm the object of divine consummation. Oh, my beloved friend, please take it in. What God wants to do for you and me, the divine and final purposes that are eternal for all who will genuinely know him as the God of their life, their Savior, with Christ the Savior. When you can say, he made me, he sees me, he thinks of me, he loves me, he died for me, he leads me, he protects me, and then at last, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes for me, he will finish me, perfect me. No, my beloved, I will confess I'm not perfect yet. Yes, I am saved, thank God. God is the God of my life. But when the Lord Jesus comes again, God is going to finish what he began. Well, as Paul the Apostle written, he that hath begun a good work in you will finish it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Oh, my beloved radio friend, I plead particularly if you are unsaved. You will not neglect the one who is the God of your life any longer. But right now, just as you are, sinner, yes, confess your sin. Confess your need of God's blessed Son as your Savior. Did he die to save your soul? Come to him just as you are, and say to him in the language of the dear old hymn we often sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And you will come to the God of your life. God grant that you will. I pray that you will be able to call him, and will today. He is the God of my life. Let me remind you of his own words. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As the God of my life, he has given me eternal life. As the God of your life, if you make him your Savior, you will also receive eternal life. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by thy Holy Spirit, sanctify these truths to the glory of our Savior and the blessing of everyone. Amen.